Welcome to my Bob Thurman podcast. I'm so grateful some good friends enabled me to present them to you. If you enjoy them and find them useful, please think of becoming a member of Tibet House US to help preserve Tibetan culture. Tibet House is the Dalai Lama's cultural center in America. All best wishes. Have a great day. Okay, how to use the practice for a post-election issue. Podcast number, I don't know what. This is Bob Thurman, a couple of days after the election. And believe me, I am as distressed as anyone, other than Hillary herself, about this dreadful outcome of this election. And I have a lot of negative things to say about it. However, first of all, we have to remember that non-duality means that all this is made of the clear light of the void. Shunyata karuna garbham, emptiness, the womb of compassion. This is ultimate reality. And all of this relativity is ultimate reality, and every piece of this relativity is ultimate reality. And therefore, Donald Trump is part of this relative, ultimate, non-dual reality. And therefore, we have to love Donald Trump, wish him to be happy, wish him to become more compassionate, wish him to become more aware of reality, actually. And even we can feel compassion for him and sympathy for him, because he has lived in a world of unreality for some time, because of inherited wealth, and then his behavior in relation to that inherited wealth, and a sense of deprivation that he has had and dissatisfaction that he clearly has had, or he wouldn't have been grabbing so many people and doing so many strange things to hang on to his money and to make more money. And so that means he's someone who feels very, very dissatisfied. He wants people to pay more attention to him. He's very insecure, really, that means, you know. Look at me, and then making up all kinds of things about what he's done and what he's done, meaning that he feels very insignificant, and he's very worried about it, and probably for coming from some childhood setting that he has never taken time to examine, because he's able to reinforce his imbalanced mental structure with the money, lawyers and specialists and, you know, trophy wives and so on. Although I think perhaps the present one may be also how some sort of a sobering factor on him. And certainly now when he and she are thrust into this very pressured situation of being the object of everyone's desires and wishes and all of the very, very unrealistic and overpromised, poorly informed people who expect him to work miracles as a sort of strong man and who have believed all of his pretty unrealistic promises. And being the type of people who they are, who were kindled by racist and misogynist, you know, white male ideas, he's going to be in a hard position. So we can feel sympathy for him in that light. And we should not at all be panicked and be desperate. We are still here. The country is still here. There are angels to protect us from any abuse of the doomsday weapons. Anyway, that's it. So it's like, you know, a poor wandering Godzilla has arrived and is now somehow the center of attention to an extreme degree. And you know, people have to deal with that. That's all we have. And be compassionate to him, I would say. He needs our compassion, just as Hillary does, whose whole life work was moving to this point, and who may actually, like Al Gore, have been legitimately elected if it wasn't for the, I mean, well, certainly I think it was legitimately elected if it wasn't for the heavy voter suppression and various other, you know, crooked things in the 26 Republican governored and Republican secretary of stated states. And yet she is deprived of the opportunity to make her gift to the American people. Her gift, not Bill's. Bill had his failures and so on. And she would have shown something really marvelous to women and to mothers everywhere and to the world. That like in a way we showed that we had a black president, a half-black president, even with all the racism in the country. We also, of course, showed that the racist people of power in the country could oppose everything that man tried to do. And she would have had that opportunity to make that great gift, and we would have been happy to receive it. So there's no point in denying that we're all deeply, deeply disappointed and may well have actually been cheated again, as we were in the case of Al Gore once. And actually, the cheating structure could, due to this, make itself even more powerful, and the cheating could get worse and worse until we descend into a state that we assume America could not be, but actually obviously could. But we cannot be so upset that we're either paralyzed by fear or we're embittered by resentment and fury and therefore fail to make good judgments about how we manage ourselves and our lives and how, and also the more important thing, how will go our work of resistance. Because although we've lost this round for whatever reason, and these people are down there holding the levers of power, there's other levers of resistance, just like they resisted Obama's good activity. We have to think of how to resist the negative activity. Unfortunately, they also have both houses of Congress, and they're going to have the Supreme Court again. So our options are more limited than theirs were in the resistance. They had more institutional support in what they have done, what they did during the Obama years. And we don't have those same weapons, but we have other weapons. So we should channel our energy and our feeling of... So basically, number one... Being depressed is self-indulgent and unnecessary. It was just we have taken a tremendous blow, those who wish the best for the maximum number of people in this country have taken a grievous blow. And then two, we have to make the best of it, and we have to channel the bitter feeling that we have and the feeling of sadness at the many people who are lining up to be harmed by the incredibly short-sighted policies that they have promised to implement. And so our sympathy for them, for those people, which include ourselves but are many more than us and many in more vulnerable positions than those who might be listening to this podcast, we will be harmed, but they will be much more harmed. The very poor, the elderly who depend on Social Security, those who will lose their medical insurance, those who will not have access to expanded Medicaid and so on, many, many people, students who are deeply mired in debt. And then not only, that's all in the United States, and then in some war that might arise with Iran when the Iranian nuclear deal is canceled, and those who will suffer in countries that will be hit hardest by climate change, when the whole momentum of trying to meet the climate change challenges is destroyed by climate deniers having power to implement their unrealistic things. This all our compassion for all of these people who are in line to be harmed should give us terrific energy to resist in effective ways, lovingly. In other words, you naughty boys, we would like to prevent you from doing this because this will cause great harm. In the long run, you will deeply regret that you caused it somehow, someday, in some lifetime or another, if not this one. And therefore, we're not doing this out of hatred for you. We don't hate you, actually. We think you're kind of amusing in a way. if it weren't that we feel your pain, which is extreme for you to behave in this kind of manner. You are feeling you have a peaceful life, you have a nice family, you have a nice apartment, you have plenty of money, and you can travel around and entertain them and yourself. You could be very helpful to a lot of people with the money. And yet you are desperate to take power and do things that will be immensely harmful. Although maybe you even think they'll help these people, but they will, of course, be harmful. Take the bread out of their mouths, take the medical care out of their surroundings, take the pollutants, fail to take the pollutants out of the food, out of the air, out of the soil, and just, you know, worship the god of money and make it really awful. And we shouldn't be afraid. There's two extremes. We shouldn't be hating because of being aware of all of these difficulties and all of this damage and all of this danger. So we shouldn't hate anybody, nevertheless. Everyone is a victim of their own delusions. We should be compassionate for them, even love them, because if they were more happy, they wouldn't cause such damage, you know. And love means wishing them to be happy. So that's one extreme. And the other extreme, because we love them, we shouldn't be afraid to strongly criticize what they do that is wrong and strongly resist it as much as we possibly can. Running away is absolutely not an option because the damage goes to the whole planet, to all the people on the planet. We must not running away. I'm going to Canada. I'm going to Italy. I'm going to New Zealand. You know, I mean, some people who have means could have put a foot there in case it gets even worse, which it likely will, actually, according to the present trends. But they should stay and stand behind and stand up to this, and they should resist in every possible way. So, but in the resisting, then, they should not resist with hatred, anger, desperation, and complete demonization. These people, behavior is somewhat demonic, but they are not demons. They're human beings. And they are driven to this kind of somewhat demonic behavior by their own deep distress, internal. Their hearts are locked up. Their feelings, sensations of inner streaming and inner flow are cut off. They therefore are a little sadistic and a little... You know, they want to get stimulation in strange ways. You know, that, of course, are not satisfying, so then they get worse. So we have to be very, very compassionate for them. So in the case of those who do, especially maybe those who are practitioners of either the Buddhist, exoteric Buddhist teaching of waiting for the coming of Maitreya, which is a little longer time frame, the loving Buddha, which depicts a time on earth when things will really be much better than they are now, where there will be great plenitude everywhere, people will have much longer lifespans, much less disease, and so on. It's a kind of golden age, but unfortunately quite far in the future. But yet anyone who develops the love, Maitreya means the loving one, the friendly one, and anyone who develops friendliness and lovingness, even if they lose worldly battles, even if they're injured and damaged, even if they're killed, but if they develop that ability within themselves, they will return at the time of Maitreya. They'll be here a lot of other places in between, but they will have ever better lives, better environments. They might go visit Maitreya in Tushita, where in the Tushita heavenly plane where he dwells until he gets to come to earth, till the time is right for him to come to earth, which is unfortunately not now in any overt manner. And they will. So nothing that they do positively will be lost, and they can use the disadvantages and the disasters that are afflicting them in the Lojong manner, in the mind transformation manner, in that every damage and difficulty and provocation that comes to me gives me a chance to practice love, generosity, ethicality, morality, patience and tolerance, forgiveness, and to practice all of these positive virtues. And the more challenge that comes to me, the more intense my practice can be. So I can use these, personally for myself, I can use these terrible disadvantages and provocations to develop my own evolution to where I can develop ability maybe to prevent them ahead of time in other situations in the future. Like somehow all of us with all of our goodwill, even Hillary with all of her goodwill, and those who were trying to help her, Bernie with his goodwill, and all the Bernie followers with their goodwill, but somehow we were always not able to make the message clear to the people. We can't just say that the American people are so ignorant and crazy. I've talked to senior politicians, retired politicians. They say there's always been a 15 to 20% kind of fringe, little bit nutty group. You know, white supremacists, gun freaks, you know, people who are a little bit nutty, you know, from different either religious or secular ideologies. And that's always been there. And they can never win an election by themselves. What we didn't do is we never made it clear. For example, when we have to realize this and see where we made errors. When Trump blurted and bullied at Hillary that she'd had 30 years to fix everybody and everything and failed to do it, and only he could now fix it, she didn't answer back strongly that actually I've been around 30 years trying to fix these things, and people like you and people who are just chasing money and people who don't really care for the people and don't pay your taxes and et cetera, you have blocked things that I and President Obama have tried to do. And so, for example, even in that very last opportunity they had in Philadelphia, they were like saying, this is to continue Obama, this is to do that. And you know, after the loss, all the historians were saying, people don't like to continue an eight-year presidency and hand it off to a successor, you know. Johnson, the Kennedy-Johnson failed to hand it to Humphrey, et cetera, you know. Reagan did manage to hand it off to Bush one, but not two times. Clinton couldn't hand it off to Gore. This is like a general thing, you know. Although, actually, I think he did succeed to do it. He was cheated. And I do think this was a cheat. But nevertheless, they could have said they were being nice. They were taking high road sort of idea. That's nice. But they didn't make the message to those people who were trying to be more hard-nosed, sort of, and were believing this preposterous claims by Mr. Trump, that, and by all the Republican super PACs and all the fake ads and everything. And they didn't say, excuse me, but if you people want change, how about changing the Republican House and Senate? Because they blocked us doing what you want and need. You wanted big infrastructure project with lots of jobs. You wanted, you know, a good Medicaid, you know, expanded Medicaid and better health care, you know. You wanted every state to implement a new Affordable Care Act. Not, it was not called Obamacare. It's an Affordable Care Act that 30, 20 presidents, 10, 15 presidents for 50 years have tried to implement. You wanted that. And these people blocked it. And the one thing that was passed, they gutted it. And they made it, they wouldn't spread it in 26 states, which caused the insurance companies not to make enough money to be able to keep going along with it. And so, you know, look at the people who have prevented change. It's not us. So when we say we want to continue, we mean we would like to have a situation where we're not blocked and where we can work for the people and we can extend the extremely popular programs that you wanted and you have wanted all along from FDR. The American social system, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid from Johnson, and helping the poor and not having these disaster areas and then retraining people who lose jobs because the economies change, which is not going to be reversed. You can't turn the economy clock back. You know, it's not possible. And he promises to do so, but it's not realistic. And what it would be realistic if you want change is to clear up the blockade in the Congress for us. Please do that. So that message was not made. Bernie made that message. But then when Bernie was defeated, then the rest of the Democrats just started acting more like politics as usual. And then they lost the people. They didn't have Bernie campaigning with them. He did do his best, but he wasn't really right there in the core operation. He wasn't right next to Hillary where he should have been. And those are mistakes that we all made. We let her do that. So this mistake we cannot make again. We have to rebuild a Democratic Party and we can make it a green Democratic Party and make it a, not libertarian, because that really fits with the right wingers, but a green democratic party, and make it a revolutionary democratic party, not a part of the politics as usual democratic party. And here's another way to try to see a possible good thing. Trump is notoriously fickle and mind-changing. How can we bring to him the message that if he, after all this change, and I don't like politics and politicians and Washington and Beltway and everything, if he works with the Beltway blockaders, Ryan, McConnell, Gingrich, you know, he's putting in Gingrich, putting in Christie's not that, has no such, you know, he's like that. And Giuliani's just nuts, you know. But if he puts them in and lets Giuliani enact politics of vengeance, then he's just a regular Republican politician's pawn. He's a pawn of the oil industry. He's a pawn of the Koch brothers. He said he could do this and people believed him because he had money and he didn't need their money. But yet he's going with all the people who do need their money and are sold out to them and therefore blockaded Obama. Not just racism, but being sold out. Okay, how can we bring that message to Trump? Since he basks in the popularity of his followers, which he will lose if he will not be able to satisfy their desires. And he cannot just keep lying to them and then doing the opposite what the Republican establishment machine wants him to do. He destroyed the Bush dynasty within the Republican Party, and now he has destroyed the Clinton dynasty within the Democratic Party, okay? So he's a potentially complete, and he has his own money, so he's a free agent. So we know, though, that his, unfortunately, he had to do a primary in a Republican, so he had to act like a Republican, although he has been a Democrat in his life. So he can say boo to them like he said boo to us. If we'd let him know that this is in his self-interest, this is the way of keeping his followers, is not act, you know, join the more radical people who are anti this machine Republicans, throw out all the machine Republicans, don't appoint Christie, Giuliani, and especially Gingrich, and go for a completely new thing that is beyond Republican and Democrat, and show that, and give up this stupid climate denying. He's not, he was here when Sandy hit New York. He knows what we're in for. He's not that stupid. He's crazy, you know, in a wild and woolly way, but he's not that stupid. You know, it's just craziness. So, and he's strong. He should have a strong sense of being based in people who want something completely new. And he can do that from top down. And this is some way of, somehow, if you get that message in your heart, you might be able to, you know, in all of the Move On and all of the different resisting organizations, which are in a very weak position because of their keeping the Senate. And they're like, why hasn't anybody ever impeached the Republicans for not considering Obama's Supreme Court nominee for almost a year? And then they say they're going to ram through a bunch of right-wingers in the Supreme Court. The Democrats have every legitimate right, for example. Chuck Schumer and the 49 Democrats plus independents in the Senate should definitely filibuster, and they should make it public. We're not doing like the Republicans of refusing to consider and do our job and consider a Supreme Court nominee by a sitting president. However, we insist that the one appointed by the previous sitting president is duly and properly considered. And we will block any new one until that one has been considered. Then they can, if somebody else retires, you can appoint another one. But that one first has to be considered. Otherwise, we will blockade this for 4 years, for 8 years. We will take a page from your rough and tough playbook. We will do that. For example, how about doing that? Showing some guts. This would be really good. I think this would have popular support. You know, they'd throw ads at it. They'd throw everything. We would throw our own ads. This is the kind of thing of intelligent resistance that is the only way we're not going to see this catastrophe deepened very promptly. If we let Trump become the puppet of those people who have caused all this obstruction all this time, and if we then just say we're polite and we fought through the system so we won't behave like you, and then be steamrolled by them, that would not be resisting. But anyway, I don't want to go on that. This is long. This is already 23 minutes. Just be happy. Remember, the key always, our practice, Buddhist practice, our Buddhist practice, and even good Christian practice, good Jewish practice, good Muslim practice, good Hindu practice, is to be joyful and to be happy. There's Jesus, there's God, there's Moses, there's Krishna, there's Hanuman, then we have Buddha, we have Avalokiteshvara, we have Tara. The Taoists have the guy with the golden flower. The spiritual people have always found ways to be happy, even in the midst of disaster, and even being activists, in not only just in withdrawal from the disaster by going and hiding in a mountain or a cave or something, although that's sometimes a good thing, but in activity, even when one is putting one's body in front of a tank, happily, without hating the tank or hating the person in the tank. This is the level we have to reach. This is what we're challenged to do. This is what we failed to do in this campaign. We failed to create a margin big enough for Hillary. That was like how Obama defeated the same kind of machine, because he created a bigger margin by energizing a bigger group of people and being, yes, we can about it, and not, you know, we're going to be practical and we're going to do this and that. So that then people didn't believe us who need and desperately want big change. So the big change people who voted 10 million of them for Bernie went for Trump, too many of them, or didn't act at all. And therefore the margin was close enough. So the voter suppression and the different cheating that is you have to expect succeeded. So happiness. Try to see the humor. Try to find something to laugh about. Try to something to make the best of. Take the mad beast, the Trump monster, and try to make him a little more free monster. And acknowledge that he's had a victory of basically destroying all conventional politicians. Except, you know, because being on the Republican side, he did not block a number of Republican senators that we needed, and some great women senators that we really needed to take office were not able to, and that makes our work all the much harder. Okay? So we'll make a shadow government, we'll make a shadow community that will love the mainstream community but resist them in a loving manner, forcefully and intelligently. That's what we have to do, okay? All the best. Om mani padme hum. And or maybe even more powerful, Om tari tutari turi swaha. Oh, and finally, let's say, and reach out, at least with your prayers and heart, to poor Hillary, poor Bill, and poor Chelsea, who have done so much with that foundation, although, of course, with imperfections, everything has. But they've still done a great deal, and they can continue to do a great deal of good in the midst of all of this. And they shouldn't just fold up and run away and hide and be heartbroken. They should continue to help. Hillary is still a great person, and she should continue to help. And I have not seen people effectively counter this image of this criminal, hated, horrible, the one that Giuliani is likely to go after and try to make deepen her misery in their completely vindictive manner. How can we defend? How can we sanctify? How can we raise up Hillary as the altruistic, loving, wonderful Wellesley girl that she is? Louis C.K. did a great job, but a little bit late, last minute, on the Conan show. And how can we do this, really make a movement like that? That should be considered a major thing to do, to rehabilitate her in the public eye somehow. Get some media, some wealthy liberals. Could they please buy CBS or ABC, do a hostile takeover? Get us a network and get out on that network and counter Fox News, etc., you know. Please. We have to resist strongly. The media is a major responsible for this catastrophe that happened. And the battle has to be fought on that plane as well. In a happy jolly, like a Jon Stewart. Those guys should be having a big megaphone, you know, to laugh their way through this kind of preposterousness and resist it and And as people are disappointed, and the strong man isn't able to work instant miracles for all those people who I think misguidedly place their hopes in him, then we have to be there to show them where the mistake was made and how wonderful Hillary was, and how Hillary and Bernie are really friends, and how they can make a new movement, or their successors can. Maybe too much for them at this stage. But they can empower their successors. Come on. Let's not give up. Never give up. And if you're happy enough, you won't give up. And you'll resist happily. That's the key. That's the joy. Great book by that wonderful author, The Secret of Joy, you know. Walker, you know. Right? The great Alice Walker. What is the secret of joy? She revealed at the end of that book. Secret of joy is resistance. Effective resistance. That's the secret of joy. And joyful resistance is much more powerful than resentful, bitter, hating resistance. That's actually not effective. Nonviolent, joyful resistance, but intelligent, okay? And humorous. Thank you very much. All the best. Bye.